Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, who is a procurer and distributor of the grace of God, dear fellow redeemed, I saw a video the other day that depicted a group of people coming up to heaven's gates. Before them was a judge and a scale, and they had to provide their life's fulfillments in a binder to the judge and step on the scale to see whether or not they were good enough to enter heaven. The first lady stepped up and handed the binder and said to the judge, "I know I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but every time I do, I try to do something good to make up for it. Certainly that counts, right?" The judge said, "We will see. Step on the scale." She stepped on the scale, and immediately the arrow flipped to not good enough. The next man stepped up and handed his binder to the judge, and the judge said, "Wow, you've accomplished a lot." He said, "Yeah, I dug wells in Africa, I started an orphanage in India, I just wish I could have done more to leave the world a better place." "Step on the scale," the judge said. "Not good enough." Finally, a man stepped up whose binder was filled with red, filled with terrible things he had done his entire life. And the judge said, "This won't take long. Step on the scale." Before the sinner could step on the scale, he was handed another folder, this time by Jesus. When the judge opened the folder, it simply said, "Child of God." And the judge said, "Step on the scale." And as the sinner was about to step on the scale, he said, "No, not you, him." And when Jesus stepped on the scale, the arrow immediately flipped, good enough. And he and that man went into heaven. Now the other people who were standing by started crying out, "That's not fair. He was a lot worse than I was." And the judge said, "Well, that's grace." Grace is something that the world will never understand because it goes completely against its natural philosophy. The world says, "I do this, I do that, I deserve to get this or that." Grace says, "You have done nothing. to earn God's favor or forgiveness. But because of Jesus Christ, God forgives you anyway. Grace is God's greatest gift, and it is something that He desires to shower on all people. In the parable before us today, it's really about grace. It shows the generosity of the Father in calling workers into His kingdom and the rich reward that He offers them, even though they don't deserve it. But it also tells us of the warning and consequence of despising that grace that God offers, ultimately being excluded from the kingdom of God. The theme that I would lay on your hearts this morning is, by the grace of God, go I. It is God's grace that has called you into His kingdom. And not just to be His child, but to be a worker in His kingdom. Whether you have been a Christian your whole life or more recently, the work is the same. Share that gospel message of God's grace through Jesus with all people. And yes, there will be a reward for the work you do in the spiritual field. But the ultimate reward that you receive is a crown of eternal life. And that is a gift of God's grace. Now, the parable that Jesus gives is really in response to Peter's question, which we read in our gospel lesson. See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And though Jesus provided them an answer of what their reward would be, He knew that they still did not have a complete understanding of the reward of grace. Now, when we look at a parable, it's important to remember that this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. There are points in this story that make no sense to the real world, but Jesus uses those points in order to illustrate the heavenly meaning. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. The Jewish workday went from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. A denarius was equivalent to a day's wage, about $200 a day here in Seattle. So the proposition was absolutely fair. The workers agreed and off they went. The landowner then went out at 9 a.m., 12, noon, and at 3 p.m., and finally at 5 p.m. to find more workers. But this time, he didn't enter a contract with them. Rather, instead, he said, "Whatever is right, I will pay you." They probably expected less than a denarius. And the further into the day that they were hired, the less they expected to make. At quitting time, the master said, "Call all the laborers and give them their wages." And this is where the fun begins. Because the last ones hired were paid first. The first in line was an 11th hour worker who had barely broken a sweat. He opened his pay envelope and inside was 10 $20 bills. He rushes off, but not before word gets down the line about what he received. So what do you suppose the other workers in line were thinking? They were thinking $200 an hour. And so one by one they stepped up, rubbing their hands together, expecting the biggest single payday of their lives. But all their figuring, they failed to account for one thing. In this vineyard, pay is based on the owner's goodness, not on the worker's merit. And in his goodness, the owner hands out a denarius to everyone, regardless of how much or how little they worked. And as the line of workers grew shorter, the faces grew longer. "Not fair," grumbled the ones who hired first. "We've borne the heat of the day, and these men worked less than an hour." But this isn't about fair. This is about grace. To our way of thinking, grace is outrageous, incredible, and unbelievable. Now, especially that first group of workers felt slighted against the landowner because it was right or it was just for them to get more. But the landowner chastises them. Now, he addresses them as friend, but not as a term of endearment, gently reminding them of their contract that they had agreed to. He had not done them any wrong. Then he reminds them that they have no right to control how he distributes what is his. And if his generosity was evil in their eyes, then they could take what they received and go, never to work again in that vineyard. So who do these characters represent? The landowner, obviously, is God the Father. He is the one who personally calls people to faith by his grace and brings workers in for the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is his ruling activity in our hearts. He dispenses his grace not based on the merit of work done, but by the merit won by Jesus on the cross. And the workers you can really divide into two groups. Those who had a mercenary spirit, and those who took the owner at his word. Those who play by the world's rules, and those who rejoice in the rule of the kingdom of God, the rule of grace. Now, that first group of workers, Jesus referenced that type of spirit earlier in his ministry. On the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about hypocrites who give to the needy, but first they blow the trumpet so that everyone knows what they're doing, that they may be praised by others. And Jesus says of them, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." These are ones that, yes, you might find in churches, but they aren't the ones seeking the eternal heavenly reward. They are the ones seeking the earthly reward, the temporal one, from the eyes of man, glory, recognition, and approval. In Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees. But even Peter and the disciples were in danger of falling under the same spirit. What about you and me? Do you engage in a relationship with God in hopes of a meritorious reward? "I will only work in the church if I get my dues paid. I'm the better Christian because I have done more. I deserve more for that. I want to be higher in heaven because of all the things that I have done on earth." This is a heart of pride that directly despises God's grace. On the one hand, it despises when God showers his grace to someone that we would deem as unworthy recipient of that grace. Why do they get to be given grace from God, but I am stuck enduring the pains and distresses of life as a Christian? It's not fair. Now, on the other hand, this heart of pride despises God's grace when he comes to you with the word of warning over his sin, your sin. "I don't deserve to be chastised. I've done so much work for you, God, and this is how you repay me. This is the same heart of pride that led Belshazzar to openly mock the one true God, despite the warning over his sin, which led to his death and the fall of the Babylonian Empire. It is the same heart of pride that led so many of Jesus' people to despise him, to crucify him, to miss out on salvation. And it is the same heart of pride that can quickly take you and me from being first in the kingdom of God to being outside of it completely. Sure, you might gain a reward with a heart of pride, but at what cost? Is the reward of the praise of men really worth despising the grace that God offers? Are you going to stand on judgment day and say, God, this isn't fair? Well, Jesus will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. That is a result of seeking a meritorious relationship with God rather than one that is based on his grace. But that is not the relationship that God wants to have with you. He wants to shower you with his grace. The owner of the vineyard willingly gave every worker a full day's wage, not because they earned it, but because he is gracious and merciful. And that is exactly how God wants to deal with you. He doesn't offer you his forgiveness and eternal life because you have earned it, but because his son Jesus did. You want to talk about what's fair? Was it fair when God placed your sin and mine on the head of his innocent son? Was it fair that Jesus had to die so that a world full of sinners, many of whom would not even believe in him, had an opportunity for life? Of course not. What Jesus endured was meant for me and you. That would have been justice, to suffer for our own sins. Instead, God's justice fell on Jesus. And all that God has left to give is his mercy. Your entire relationship with God is predicated on that mercy and grace. From before you were born, he called you to be his own child so that you could spend eternity with him in heaven. Every day of your life, he offers you his grace in the forgiveness of your sins, in deliverance from Satan and his demons, in providing for your daily food, your clothing, your house, your home, your family. None of that God owes you. None of it he has to give you. He does it because of his grace, his goodness, and his unending love. By the grace of God, go I. It is a simple phrase, and yet it serves a perfect reminder for your life and service to the Lord. If you had to stand on a scale before the gates of heaven, how would you approach it? Will you stand on the merits of your own righteousness and face the certainty of not good enough? Then be prepared to be excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Instead, stand under the shadow of God's grace. Let your merits be in Jesus your Savior, who earned eternal life in your place. Seek the reward, not the one that is temporary and fading, but rejoice in the reward that is yours by the grace of our gracious God. eternal life with him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.